there's so much romance, with a small R, to the guitar, and it's easy to project as you're playing it, your connection to the instrument, physically, musically, hearing it, seeing it, feeling it. Talk about being inside you and playing guitar.
So one thing I really, because guitar is obviously probably my favorite instrument. One thing that I think, because you're talking about the romance and kind of the connection with the guitarist, is I think with the guitar, it's one of these instruments that lacks almost no medium. You know, whereas like in piano or many other instruments, you have something in between you and the instrument. So say in piano, you have those hammers and the keys that are in between you and the strings that are actually making the noise. With guitar, you have this physical, touch on each of the notes. And I think there's something to that. I mean, I know there's people who disagree with me, but I think you can very much project what you want onto the instrument, which is really nice. So you can get all sorts of colors, you can get all sorts of different feelings out of just being able to touch those strings. And something that really drew me to the instrument kind of right away.
And as you left Spokane, went off to graduate school, you had another opportunity for a teacher to fill another part of your guitar playing, and that's Daniel Bolshoi, right?
Yes, Daniel Bolshoi.
And so what part of your playing has he fulfilled over the last couple of years?
So Daniel is a, I first met him when, it was several years ago, or a few years ago, I guess, when the Music Fest Northwest competition mm-hmm. up here happened. And he actually came down as the adjudicator for the guitar mm-hmm. part. And I ended up winning the chance to play with the Spokane Symphony.
Yeah, the Young Artist. That's a big deal.
competition, which was really fun. And he was the judge for that. And I remember him hearing me, and he seemed pretty excited, especially when I played my solo piece. And he kind of like, even though he was kind of judging me, kind of just jumped on stage and started giving me a mini masterclass, which was all sorts of fun. And then after that, he invited me to audition because he had taught up in Vancouver,
UBC.
Yeah, at UBC, and he just started to move to University of Georgia, where he got a new position. And so he invited me to go there for my master's, and I auditioned, and I got a TA, which was great because it means you don't have to pay for school, which is always
very great,
which is always nice. So I ended up going there to study with him, and he's really just a wonderful teacher. As great of a player as he is, I almost would say his teaching, at least to me, has definitely left more of an impact because he focused a lot on technique, whereas I felt like I was lacking from maybe some of my other teachers didn't focus as much on it, and it was something that I was weaker in. So one of the big things is I think both JP and Michael, which are great teachers, both in their own right, focused a lot on my strengths and therefore helped build up my strong points, which, you know, enabled Daniel to see some talent in me. But I think Daniel, what he really did is he focused on my weak points, you know. What wasn't good. So a lot of it had to do with tone, which is just the overall sound of the instrument, which I feel like has grown immensely better since studying with him. And then also technique as well.
Sounds like he was exactly doing his job.
Yeah,
what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, I think I felt like he came in at the right time for me.
Nice. Well, let's hear a little of his playing. You have a recording of your teacher, Daniel Bolshoi?
Yeah. So this piece is by the composer Sainz de la Maza, but it's actually, there's a famous guitarist and composer, Sainz de la Maza. This is actually his brother, who didn't really play the guitar all that much, but wrote for it nonetheless. And this is a bolero by Eduardo Sainz de la Maza, performed by Daniel Bolshoi. Thank you.
We've been hearing the Bolero by Eduardo de la Mata, which was played by Daniel Bolshoi, the most recent teacher of our guest on the Guitar Hour today, Jacob Johnson, who is performing 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon at Spokane Falls Community College and doing a masterclass the next day at 12:30. And we'll probably get around to talking about teaching, too. But, Daniel, let's talk about teaching right now, because you say you paid your way through graduate school by being a TA, a teaching assistant, and doing some teaching. Was that kind of a whole new world for you to take on?
Oh, definitely. There's some great stories out of that too. But yes, it was very fun. So my job as a TA was teaching beginner guitar classes. Mm-hmm. Later, I also got added to teaching guitar methods, which is for like music therapy. Mm-hmm. And education students, which was a whole lot of fun. I really enjoyed teaching those classes. And then I also taught some private lessons to some of the undergrads, so some of the guitar majors as well, which was a lot different, because most of the students I had been teaching up privately before then were much more in the beginner or amateur kind of level. So having these people who are actually, you know, aiming to be professionals in classical guitar, you know, I ended up teaching some guitarists who taught their own students, you know? And so it was a much different environment. I really had to adjust and figure out, like, and it, I feel like Daniel's teaching, which was very much a very broad type of teaching, helped me kind of be able to do this, but to teach at a higher level. But when I first walked into, I remember teaching my first guitar class, I think I was very unprepared because I didn't really know how to dress. I didn't know. So I came in with just, you know, normal jeans, tennis shoes, T-shirt, very unprofessional. I wasn't prepared. And I was just thrown into this class. They didn't have anybody helping me teach this class. They didn't have any guidelines. They just said, teach these people how to play guitar. And so I was like, all right, I guess I have to figure out how to do this, which was a whole new world, I guess, for me. But after about the first semester, I started to really get the hang of it, and I felt like I started to really mature in my ways of teaching.
You know, it's a great system, the teaching assistantship thing, because if you had gone through college without having that trial by fire and learning to teach, where would you be?
You know? Yeah, no, I feel so much stronger as a teacher that I've been able to teach all these types of students and in a classroom setting as well.
And what about that other side of teaching, what you learn about your own playing?
Definitely. No, so this came up many times where, you know, especially in terms of how to practice, I would often, I'd see students come in and I can just as blatantly tell that they're just playing through the pieces when they practice, right? They're not really doing diligent, focused practice. And it was something that I myself was also working on, you know, trying to make sure I did the right type of practice, you know. And so it was really funny because a lot of times I would say things just by using common sense. I feel like that's the biggest thing you can use as a teacher. Once you know the instrument in and out, really it all comes down to common sense. I mean, that's the secret behind like Daniel's teaching and a lot of these other great guitarists is it's common sense. And so a lot of times when students would do these things, I'd be like, oh, this is not happening the way you want it because this, you know? And a lot of times I would say that and I'd be like, oh, I should do that as well, you know? Like, and so then I'd go back home and I'd focus on it as well. I also made a lot of types of warm-ups and exercises for my hands for my students and then later ended up doing them myself. In fact, I warmed up this morning using many of them.
Nice. And then you mentioned that back to that origin story that you started learning the guitar because you had to, because you needed an instrument, because you really wanted to compose. And that's where we're going to go next, is to you as composer. As a lot of times when you're playing music, is the creative part of your mind kind of working along, thinking of maybe a riff or a something?
Oh,
or
yes,
a something?
Definitely. Yeah, no, I love composing, and it's something I don't think I'll ever let go. And I've been writing, a lot of my music tends to be very difficult because more recently I've been writing a lot of pieces on the computer away from the guitar. And because of this, they tend to be very hard. I actually wrote a duet for actually South Hill Guitars, but they told me to edit it down a bit and make it a bit easier before they performed it. And I actually recently performed that on my last graduate recital. And I did have to edit it down a bit because it was quite hard. So maybe I'll have to give them the new version and maybe they'll play a little bit of that. But these pieces that I'm about to play here were actually very recently composed kind of for this these concerts that are coming up. With the preludes that I learned by Tarraga that you just heard a little bit ago, a couple of them, I decided I really wanted to write some maybe more easier, shorter pieces, you know, which was a little bit against what I normally did. And so these are three preludes. I call them the Constellation Preludes. I think they kind of emulate a little bit of what Tarraga was trying to emulate with his preludes, but in a more modern sense.
Okay, let's hear them. Thank you. by Jacob Johnson, played by Jacob Johnson, and they will be on this program on Sunday at 2. Lovely range of pieces. There's also music of Leo Brower. It seems like one almost has to have a Leo Brower piece to call it a guitar recital, right? Yeah. And something by Granados that you transcribed.
Yeah, so in my first year of my master's, I really focused on a lot of transcriptions.
From piano music in this case?
Yes, in Granados' case, it was piano music, but I also did some violin music by Bach. Mm-hmm. I did his second violin partita. And I've also done some other piano music, such as some Scarlatti mm-hmm. pieces as well. And transcription was a big part of what I was trying to focus on in that first year.
Yeah. And then you're opening the recital with an improvisation. How do you define the difference between composition and improvisation?
So with improvisation, you're kind of just composing on the spot of it, which is a lot of fun. It's something that I have really enjoyed doing. This will actually be my first time doing it on a kind of official program for a recital. I've never done that before, but I've done it many times in other types of settings, such as in either kind of gig performances where I'll play at some kind of more, I guess, not as high pressure situation, mm-hmm. or I've done it before in our guitar studio classes as well. And it's something that I've really been wanting to do more and more, and I feel like it's something that I've been working on as well to try and...
When you do an improvisation for an audience, do you try to have a sense of form? Do you try to figure as you start it where you might be going, or once you get near the end, do you try to figure where you went and hold it together, or do you just let it free form go where it goes?
So I think there's a little bit of both. One thing that I really like to do in my compositions is probably because this is some of my favorite type of compositions, so I kind of incorporate it in my improvisations, is how to, I usually come up with an idea, usually fairly quick. As I'm improvising, I'll suddenly come across something that I like in the first, 15, 20 seconds, and then I start using that very simple idea. I usually try and keep it somewhat simple. And then I just kind of develop upon that. And so say if I come up with a little motive like this, I might try and use it later in maybe a bass line and kind of incorporate it that way.
Yeah, nice. And talk a bit about your... So you got your master's. You're from the University of Georgia just a few weeks ago, probably. And so you're entering a doctoral program, right?
Yeah, so yeah. I applied to a whole bunch of places. And one thing that I found very interesting about going into a university like Georgia was that, whereas in Spokane, I was kind of one of the top students, if not the top, in the kind of Spokane area. And so I didn't have a lot of competition or a lot of players to compare myself outside of my teachers, and I always thought like, oh, they're older, I'll get there eventually. And so going into a place like Georgia where there were a lot more stronger players kind of around me, a lot of people at my level, it really motivated to push me, but also made me realize just how, that I wasn't as good as I thought, I guess. And so when it came to auditioning for my doctorate, I was very nervous, unlike when I auditioned for my master's. For my master's, I almost assumed I would get a TA. I was just like, oh, it's expected. I'm that good. But like when I went to audition for my doctorate, it wasn't the case, because all of a sudden I was very scared. And I was like, oh, I probably won't get a TA. And I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. But lo and behold, I ended up getting 4 TA offers from different universities, which was very nice. Gave me a little bit of something to choose from, but also made it hard because I had to decide where I was going to go for my doctorate. And I ended up choosing Florida State University to study with Bruce Holzman. And the main reason for this is Bruce Holzman himself. He's kind of this monster in the guitar pedagogue world. He has students of his all over America and even in internationally. He's got, I know one of his students, one or two of his students is in Washington even, and he's just got just this huge output and of very high level students with people teaching at universities and people who are just full-time performers. And so choosing him was a big part of why I chose to go to Florida State.
Nice. My guest, Jacob Johnson, who's performing at 2 o'clock on Sunday at Spokane Falls Community College. And, you know, we were talking about using a recording, but in our remaining few minutes, I think I want to talk you into a another performance. You good for another piece on the air? Because, about 3 or 4 minutes here of needing some material. What of these other pieces might you like to play?
I'll do some of the taroba. This is from a collection called Arias de la Mancha, which is a series of shorter pieces by this composer, taroba, who actually never played the guitar but wrote these pieces for the guitar, the guitarist Segovia. And so I'll play one of these pieces by him. Actually, I'll play two because they're both very short.
Okay.
The first one is Jaron Gonza, and then the second one I am forgetting the name of, but it'll be on my program on SFCC. So.
Perfect. That's exactly what we needed. Jacob Johnson playing those two pieces by taroba, which will be on that concert Sunday at 2 o'clock at Spokane Falls Community College. What a treat! Thanks for coming in, Jacob.
Oh no, thank you so much for having me, Vern.
Come back. Make sure you come back.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, good.